Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to More Than Amused Podcast, a podcast all about women and the arts, hosted by Stani and Sadie.
Join us as we explore what it's like being a female artist, examine modern day problems, and educate ourselves and you on important and forgotten female artists of the past.
Hi everyone, and welcome to More Than Amused. I'm Stani.
And I'm Sadie. And today we have such a treat of an episode. Yeah. We got to talk to Laura Veltz today, and I'm very excited. If you don't know who she is, which if you're not in the songwriting world, perhaps you don't, but I'm just going to give you her basic bio, I guess. So she is a Grammy-nominated American songwriter and musician.
Four-time Grammy-nominated.
True. She was also nominated for the first ever Grammy Award for Songwriter of the Year that actually happened just last year, for her work with Maren Morris, Demi Lovato, and Ingrid Andress. If you don't know who she is, you probably know her songs that she's written on. Some of those songs include Speechless by Dan and Shay, The Bones by Maren Morris, What If I Never Get Over You by Lady A, which is a personal favorite. I love that song. Also, Demi Lovato, her whole last album, she was a main collaborator on that. So a lot of names that if you are familiar with pop culture at all, you definitely know. So there's some context of who we had the chance to talk to today. And she also is a co-host and creator of a songwriting podcast called Songwriter Soup. Even if you're not a songwriter, it is definitely a podcast I would recommend checking out. Mm-hmm. There's so many applicable lessons and the people she interviews, just of all facets of the arts.
Yes. And I know Sadie is the resident songwriter and musician, but just talking to like Laura today about her role in like the big industry, you know, of the arts in general, I related to her a lot. So I think that you guys are going to definitely pull something away from this, regardless of what artistic medium you choose to express yourself with.
Yes.
Yes.
Not just songwriters. Well, amazing. I don't feel like we need to waste any time. We can just hop right in.
Right into it.
Thank you, Laura, for being on More Than Amused.
Oh my God.
I'm real excited. I'm honored.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Of course. Like I mentioned to, you know, we just talked about, she just gave me a great recommendation, Stani, before you hopped on, of an amazing ice cream place that I now need to check out in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
So
I'm jealous.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. Very exciting. But I mean, obviously, you know, I'm in Nashville. I'm also a musician and a songwriter. So I'm selfishly excited because I love your podcast, Songwriting Soup, so much.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I listen almost every week. And like, it's also something that like, my friends are texting me of like, did you listen to the episode this week? It was
way.
So good. So I just want you to know.
You don't understand. I'm completely shook to hear that. That makes me so happy. Look, like literally we're in the dark about, like, I know that people are listening. Like we get little bits of feedback that say, oh, people like listen through the whole episode. And that's like, as I'm sure you know, in like podcast speak, that's like a good sign.
Yes. Yeah.
But I still don't really understand this whole world, and the fact that anyone gives a shit about it is just too exciting to me. Because it's gonna, you know, it's a dream. I love mentoring. I love it. But I also don't love song critique, and I don't love judging people. Mm-hmm. And so we really tried to build it around free mentorship, as in like, I don't want to have a transaction with someone who just needs a little guidance on how to get started. And me and my co-host, Tracy, my financial advisor, he and I were just like, this would be wild, because they don't really, you know, tell you much about how, what to expect. So no. It makes me so happy to know that you are listening. That's so thrilling.
No, I mean, that is a weird thing about podcasting is, like you just talk into a mic and you send it into the internet. And like, you know, when you're performing like as a musician or as a songwriter, you can at least see the faces. You get the instant gratification. But like with podcasting, it's just like... this could be like, I see the numbers, I see them go up, but like,
are you
real.
Liking it? Are you guys like, is it just playing in the background and you're like, not at all involved? Like, who knows? You know, you just don't know. So, yeah, totally. That's just thrilling.
Yeah. Well, I want to, so of course, talk more about the podcast later, but I just want to at least give you that at the beginning that, like, Thank you. Big fan, listen all the time.
That's thrilling.
But anyways, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, I know who you are, but like if, for our listeners, could you, I mean, obviously you're a songwriter, but I would love to hear you kind of talk about how you, I don't know, started writing songs and started doing this for real as a job.
Yeah. I feel like there's like a whole brand of person that I am of, like whatever, you know, ilk we come from. It's these people who have a lot of feelings and, you know, typically we're sort of like the little funny rejects in the back of the classroom, you know, and everything is just highly emotional. And then you discover at some point that songwriting is a job. And most of us don't know it's a job until a certain moment. And then something clicks and you're like, oh my God, you mean I can funnel all of this poetry and all of this interest in expressing myself into this little 3 minute, you know, morsel. So I got hooked on that like pretty early. I was in a band before. I was just like a staff writer and I really hated being a salesperson. I hated being like a performance artist. I was like, awkward, but also like a little phobic of praise in that one way that comes with being an artist. Like if someone thinks the world of you, you know, they cry or they're so overwhelmed or they think that you're better than them, which I hate that feeling with all of hell's passion. I just don't enjoy feeling like someone thinks that I'm like grand. And so I immediately was like, this is not resonating. But then when I realized that there are people who, first of all, can manage those feelings without being a dick about it. Like people who can like manage those feelings without feeling phobic / taking it way too seriously. Like there's a whole breed of person who just isn't me, who's good at that. And when I realized that those things can coexist and there's a business where you can, you know, come together in the middle and I can do this for you and then you can go sell the thing. Like songwriting was just like, oh, click. Now I was like 28 years old when that happened. I had lived an entire life before that really didn't do much for me. So discovering that it's a job was like, boom for me. And I love it. And then, you know, I've been doing it for long enough now where I'm like the elder, you know, I'm like a, I'm someone who's been in the business long enough where it's weird because obviously when I moved to town, there were all these people that I was just like, well, they know what they're doing, you know? And then at some point enough time went by where people were like, no, you know what you're doing. And I was like, I do. But that's been the shift for me. It's just really enjoying making the next generation a little less scared of the, I mean, the industry is just absolutely insane, as you well know. But that's like the fun for me is like make the stuff, but also like, you know, I don't know, pet the head of the next, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be okay. And it's fun. And it's a really lucky job if you don't beat yourself up. So that's kind of my spiel about songwriting. It's like the best job in the world, but it truly is like buying lottery tickets for a living, which is just terrifying.
No, really. I think it's like fun to talk to people who don't know anything about the music business, of course, you know, like family, old friends of just being like, no. Like, yeah, you write songs, but like just because you're writing songs for a living, like that's amazing. That's a lottery ticket in and of itself. But then after that, you gotta keep trying to get more and more business. Winnings.
Yeah, I just did this this corporate show where it was just a bunch of people like normies who are not in the music industry. And I said, you know, does anyone write songs, you know, and a few people popped their hands up and I immediately said, did you know that in professional songwriting, you have to write like 200 songs a year to hope to get like one to stick to the wall? And just, I'm sure the audience member who was like, yeah, I write songs, was immediately like, ooh, not like that. That's scary, you know? But yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot. I was like nodding vigorously when you were talking about the fact that you hated being a salesman, because I'm not a songwriter, I'm not a musician, but I am a graphic designer, and freelance sucked for me for that very reason. And that's one of the things that's been kind of hard about like the art industry. I feel like there's kind of like a glorification of like being the star of the show in a lot of professions, where it's like, oh, you are the accountant, you're the business manager, you're the content creator, and like you're in charge of everything for this little business starring you. And that's what I kind of loved about like corporate graphic design, is someone else handles all of that. So it's like cool to hear that from like a songwriting perspective too, that you were like, yeah, I didn't like that part of it. I liked more of the supporting role help, which I relate to a lot.
I think what you're describing is probably just an American addiction. You know, it's something very American to be like, you could be a star. Like there's like such a that, you know, but I think that maturity and time allows you to go, but what do I like? Like, what do I like about this? And luckily, you know, there's like 10,000 cogs in the wheel that get the fucking thing to get rolling.
Yeah.
And like the music industry, and I know your world too, and frankly, every small business, like I love my podcast so much because it speaks to people who are starting small businesses and it's that, you know, but luckily even in an industry where I'm a sole proprietor and it's just me against me, essentially, I'm still a cog in a wheel in a very large vehicle that's trying to make its way, you know, down the damn road.
Yeah. And it's a very, very slow process. For
truly.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm really intrigued by the principle of your podcast for this reason, because like the people behind, like I'm the people behind.
Yeah.
And I love the people behind. You're, Stani, you're, I mean, expressing the same thought. It's like, I want to be the person behind the person who's doing the. And I just love the principle of your podcast. It's really cool.
Well, thank you. And that kind of leads into what I actually wanted to talk about next, is because like, yeah, you are a person behind, you know, you are the person that like people would know the songs you've written, but they maybe don't know your name, which is, I'm sure, kind of a unique thing. And I wanted to know, like, what is that? Like, is that a good thing?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing ever, because like, again, it's very American, but perception of fame is just fascinating. Like, let's get into it. Like when, you know, there's somebody famous at my dinner table, you know, my children's friends are like, oh, you're famous. Like they think that I'm famous. And then I have to go, no. My songs are famous. The people I write for are famous. I have 7,000 followers on Instagram. Nobody cares. Like I'm not that exciting, and that's how I like it. Like I'm just a person. I'm a cog in a wheel. I love that. But like, I like being a secret in a way. I like, not financially, but you know, there's a defining line, but when it comes to recognition, I kind of like, I'm such a slut for the idea that like only people in my industry think of me as special.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like it's my peers that think I'm special.
That's what I
that's was awesome.
Just going to say is like, I feel like that's like almost the right kind of gratifying. It's like the people who know about it, who know what they're talking about, are the ones that are going to be like giving, like recognizing you, you know, as opposed to, I don't know, because if you're famous, you can get a whole bunch of potential opinions from anybody, and I'm sure that's not great.
It's just kind of a like, totally.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, something cute about one of my daughter's friends. She, it's funny. She's mad at Maren Morris for taking my son. Like in her little brain, she's just like, "How dare." How dare, you know, like She thinks that Maren is somehow stealing from me because, like, I'm singing the songs in the house and she hears me sing and she's like, "You can sing. I don't understand why." And I'm like, "Oh no, honey, we want Maren to go. We want her to keep selling my stuff, you know." Yeah. But it's very cute that, you know, again, it's just perceptions. Mm-hmm. People are funny. Even a little kid can kind of sort of like get in that position of like, I don't know. I heard an episode of y'all talk about, you know, Taylor and, you know, the whole thing. It's like we all have these thoughts and feelings about people because they seem like they're this close, you know. Yeah. But anyway, it just, the human mind is a fascinating place.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
Absolutely. What were you going to say, Stani?
I was just going to say, I feel like it's the best of both worlds. You get to be like known in your industry by the people who understand it, but then you don't have to deal with all of like the idolization and everything that comes with the industry too.
Yep. Bingo. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly it. And I adore the people that I write for, and I'm so grateful that they can handle all of that. Like, yeah. Like when I was in my band, like I would just like, I would volunteer to do stuff with the crew. Like I was my drummer's drum tech so that I didn't have to talk. I was just like, I'll just take the kid apart. I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But people love it. I mean, there's people who just freaking love it, and it's meant for them, you know?
Mm-hmm, totally.
We love those people. We want those people, but I'm just not one of them.
Yeah, no, I love that. Speaking then, kind of continuing with like the message of our podcast, like we talk a lot about specifically being a woman in the arts, and you know, we comment a lot on like the ways that the celebrities we love are being portrayed in the media, and we have our thoughts, but like, as someone who is a lot more behind the scenes, like, is there, I don't know, I'll start more general, but like, what are your thoughts on being a woman creative, and especially with someone who is, you know, I guess, like you said, a cog in the machine, or what are some of your observations?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting world. The country world is one thing. The pop world is another world entirely. I've dabbled in a bunch of areas with this, like, I've done a rock record with Demi Lovato, and that was crazy and fun and totally different. I've done stuff with like Idina Menzel for movies and stuff. And I did something for Scream, like a soundtrack.
Oh, cool.
I've been, it's so fun. Like jumping around and going like, oh, how can I use my weird poetry skill, you know, in these varieties of ways. But to answer your question, I think just like being a woman in a certain version of that can be like seamless. Like no one's thinking about the fact that I'm a girl at all when I'm doing rock music or pop music. No one's even thinking about it. In country, there's a little bit more of a fight to keep my spot. Like it's a really weird thing, you know, the whole Tomato Gate thing. It's sad to even bring it up again, but like, the struggle on the chart is, it doesn't not affect women behind the scenes. It does affect women behind the scenes because obviously, like, I want to write for women, you know, and I have to think about my calendar as a business person. So I have to kind of go like, ooh, but I have to even this out because the odds of a girl working are this and the odds of a shitty artist guy working are this, like, you know, and like, and not all shitty. They're not all shitty, but just saying like shittier males can kind of cut through. You literally have to like, I don't even know. It's not even talent. These girls are so fucking good. Yeah. And it's just like math or an algorithm or something is just highly suspect. I don't know what's going on the chart, but if you look at it, it's like really, 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 really slanted. And so we all hope and pray for another 90s onslaught of ladies that just take over. We all hope and pray, but like, we've been hoping and praying since I moved here, you know, almost 15 years ago. And it's still like, we're not landsliding the way we want to. So I feel like, to answer your question, like, I'm feeling it too. We all feel it, just the weight of it. And then when someone pops through, shit, it's like parade. I mean, Lainey Wilson right now, we're all just like, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, you cut through. You're so good. You like that quality / team / label / songs, like the whole thing is just like a huge win.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you, when is that going to happen again? I mean, Megan Maroney, yeah. I'm literally like, just keep going. Like, yeah. Please keep going. But think about that. I mean, how many, there's a few others, but like, there's just not enough. And so I think I could get up in the morning and say, how am I going to change that? And the truth is like, I've already played with that fire. It's so much bigger in some kind of way. I just have to keep showing up, doing my job, linking up with the women that I think are fucking incredible. Like Priscilla Block is like my heart. I adore her. Mm-hmm. Like I want her to win. Ella Langley, I want her to win. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh man, there's so many others. There's so like Alana Springsteen, like I want her to win so bad. I don't know the odds of them all winning. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's the sad part. It's the math. You're like, fuck, this isn't right. You're all so good. Like what's going to happen? And then of course you look at the male side of things and you can be like, well, they're probably all going to win. Yeah. And it doesn't even matter. Like, you know, it's just different. It's a different, country's in a weird place right now. And I there's not much, like, I feel like I've already done all of my lobbying about it. Yeah. I think I'm more just like going to get in line and try to help the girls that I think are fucking killer and just snake them with some really good songs and hope they pop through. That's it.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's so fair.
I mean, kind of like you talked about it, it's crazy the idea of like, oh, well, you know, all these women, they can't win. But if you look at, you know, there's a bunch of guys who are doing probably similar enough things. It's like, but they all might win. And it's so interesting. And it's interesting to me that like, okay, maybe this is not true. So maybe you can correct me. But like, it seems to me that people can look at it and say, this is a problem. Like, is it just that the right people don't view it as a problem? Or is it just that the right people don't care? Does that make sense?
Wow, you are bold.
Or maybe we don't have to talk about it.
No, I want to just, I'm gonna answer what you're saying by saying that's a really bold and an intuitive, perceptive question. I don't know the answer to that question, but that's a really perceptive question that should hang in the air.
Cool.
For all of us. It should hang in the air. I have no fucking idea. It's a really weird one. It's a really strange one. It's really weird. I don't know.
I don't know either. Obviously, it's just, I feel like, you know, I feel like I talk to people and they're all people who I like and they're like, yeah, it's a problem. And I'm like, well, I'm glad that we all agree, but you wonder where, you know, you just don't know what could make the change. But I think just like you said, of like the important thing is showing up and making art you love with people that you believe in. And at the end of the day, like there's not much else to it. There's always going to be powers.
One good sign to me is that 2020 put this like, oh, fuck it kind of energy in all of us, I think. Am I allowed to swear? I've been swearing a lot. I'm sorry. Is that
That's okay?
Yeah. Will you be bleeping everything? I'm sorry. I swear a lot on my own podcast. I don't think about it. 2020 really did something to all of us. And I feel like everyone is like, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well be myself. Mm-hmm. And be uncomfortable and say things that are interesting. Like Megan Maroney is a great example of someone who like, she's so unapologetically herself and no apologies. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that like pre-2020, the women were a little bit like, do you like this? Not all of them. That's way too big a generalization, but I think there was a lot more like, am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. Does this sound right? Does this fit in? And I think post 2020, Lainey Wilson just was shot out of a fucking gun. Like it was just like, oh, nope, this is who I am, you know? And I do that Priscilla Block feels like the same thing. Just like, this is me gonna have to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And everyone that I'm gravitating towards is in that same place where it's just like, well, I'm just going to be unmistakably myself, undeniably me. And I'm like, always here for that. Like,
yeah,
that's something I'm just naturally attracted to as like a, you know, contrarian, frankly. Yeah. I just really enjoy people that are like, well, oh, you don't like that? Well, I'm gonna be more of that. We'll see how much more, you know, because there's always somebody who's gonna resonate with something, you know. And then when people prove, oh no, there's a whole lot of people who resonate with it. That to me is like the industry changing in increments. Yeah. When you can just prove there's an audience for something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting time. And of course, this is completely just country because pop music is dominated by women. Yeah. Just dominated.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so it's weird. You're like, wow, okay, I guess sorry, I have boobs. You know, like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It's, and it is crazy to hear just how much of a difference you can feel, like, from genre to genre. Like, I guess part of me was like, maybe actually behind the scenes, it's like actually not that different at all. And, you know, it's all just people making music. It's all the music business. So that is interesting to even hear that that's something you've observed. Yeah.
There's the people that I surround myself with are not at all thinking about this. I just put myself, you know, it's a distinction. Yes. Like I put myself in the shoes of the person who just moved here.
Yeah.
They're feeling it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I get to make my own calendar. So I just look at it and be like, I want to enjoy every single room and every right of mine. No one is looking at me that way.
Yeah.
Now, but like they certainly were before I had any hits. It was just like, oh, what is this girl? Why is a girl here? You know? Yeah. And then I had to like prove that I'm worth something, you know, all that to say, you know, yeah, it's the new person that I am more concerned with, like concerned for, like, they are having to uphill battle the whole thing. And they're also having to learn how to write for males, which is not the worst skill. I think it's a beautiful skill. It's something I had to really roll my sleeves up with when I first moved here. Cause I was like, well, if I'm going to win, I'm a feisty bitch. Like I was like, I'm going to win. I just have to figure out how I'm going to win. And my decision when I moved here was pretend you're not a girl. Just see what happens if you're literally just a songwriter and that is it. You show up, you do this, you listen to the chart, you suss out what is the move and write this, you know.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I meet a little girl named Maren Morris and all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, I get to do this again. Like I get to be female. This is fun. So, you know, it's a weird behind the scenes thing and it's dog eat dog. Like we're all just, you know, we're all competing for the same cut. Like, are you a songwriter or are you an artist? Sadie, you said you were in the music industry. Are you a songwriter or are you an artist? What's your story?
I mean, songwriter, of course, first, but yeah, I'm doing an artist project right now.
Right on. Okay. Sick. So
yeah,
it's dog eat dog. It's dog eat dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, well, I'll be wishing you the best, and you know, hopefully things will, you know, you never fucking know when things just change, and they do. You know, country is on a much bigger platform right now. Obviously, it just keeps getting more and more relevant, and I wonder how that's going to change things. I wonder how Beyonce is going to change things. I'm so curious about it all. I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. You know.
Yeah. I mean, my own stuff definitely leans a little bit more pop. So it's been kind of fun for me in Nashville to like find the little pop scene that is existing, you know?
It's huge.
It's huge and it's fun.
Just getting bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I am even still like, you know, I'm here in the city, but like don't know much about country. I have friends who are, you know, more country writers and are pursuing songwriting more. But, you know, just seeing the pop scene and kind of meeting that people, I'm still like not as immersed in the country stuff. So it's just interesting to hear about it.
From you, of course. It's wild.
Yeah.
Got it all.
I know. I mean, it's Music City. So, you know,
it's amazing. I love this place.
For everybody. I know. Same. I guess I wanted to talk to you about then like writing for men then. I feel like that's such an interesting thing of like you had to learn to like write for men. And I'm assuming maybe that's one or two kind of like bro country songs. Like what was that like? Is it is that something you just like had fun with, or how did you learn and adopt? I mean, I guess like empathy is a human skill, period, and you can just apply that everywhere. So
well said.
No,
in the beginning it was all empathy because all I was thinking about was like, because you know, I don't really write women in a way that I wouldn't want to be the woman in the song. So I'm pretty particular about that. So there's a push-pull a little bit where you're like, when I, you know, the guys I write with, even back then when I first started, respected my opinion about what a woman would want to hear, how a woman want to be described, how a woman would want to be pursued. Like there's so many layers of that. So I was the resident, like I was like the gatekeeper of lyric.
I love that.
Like, no, you know, we won't make her that, you know, like that. And we want her to be this. And that's, you know, a lot of my co-writers know this of me now. I'm very protective of the characters in the song. So like there's, you protect the person singing so that they can maintain their connection with their audience. So you want the perception of who the character of who they are in the song to be likable to their audience. So that's a big part of songwriting, is making sure that the person is likable. And then you, to take it one step further, you also want to either, you want to like the person they're describing if they love them. You don't want to like fully hate the person that they're describing if they don't like them, because then the audience is going, then why'd you date her in the first place? Like there's, you know what I mean? There's this really fine line of humanity where you're like, man, why would you, if she was that awful, like, why did you stay, you know? Yeah. And that kind of stuff. So there's this really funny character thing where I think I'm writing a movie every time, and I want every character to be somebody that the audience can go, ooh, I could see myself in that. Even if they're being a bitch. Like, there's a song, this is an older song of mine, but I wrote it with Jesse Joe Dillon and Maren. It's called Rich. And it's it's basically a girl, like, she's throwing herself under the bus going, like, why do I keep doing this to myself? He's such a jerk, and yet I keep going back, and I keep going back. Why am I? And instead of just, like, I don't know, we were just very thoughtful about how we all do that. I've done it. Everyone's done it. And there's this really cool, like, wordplay of making sure that we're laughing at ourselves, but we're also kind of like, oh my God, I'm probably going to do it again. Like, I, you know, like a little bit, like, because we've all been there. And so it's always about the humanity of the characters. I'm always thinking about the end user, like the person who's listening. What are they picking up here? Like, what energy are they picking up? And so, yeah, that's a way to write for men, to circle back in a long-winded way. Like, you can, you just have to be like the, women are a better, oh, no, I don't want to say that, but generally, we're probably more intuitive as a whole about likability, like,
and if just because you had to be conscious of it, it seems.
Well, we've been trained. But yeah, no, we're as women, we're constantly like having to go like all the things. But yeah, so I feel like that's an asset in the room. And then trying not to be untrue to myself and letting the males in my co-writing room take it in the, you know, like the way the thing's worded. That's on you. I don't know how to talk. Like, that's on you. I'm going to tell, you know what I mean? Like, I'll show you how the character should feel. What would you say if the character was feeling this? And then they say it and you're like, oh, this is why co-writing is great. Like, you get to, you know, you get to fill in the blank I can't fill in, and I get to help you fill in something that you may not have noticed is important or relevant or whatever. And that is like co-writing at its best. It's so much fun.
I feel like that's so important too, though, like having different perspectives, being able to work collaboratively. I feel like it makes the song stronger, and like, what a wonderful thing that there are able to be like men and women in the room, like, so that you can make sure the perception, you know, doesn't get twisted, and they're able to speak in a way that relates to their audience. Like, 100%. I think that's incredible. Yeah.
Collaboration is like the key to all things. I feel like, you know, I love people who can do things alone. Like, there are lots of women and lots of people who just like make stuff by themselves. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I could probably do it if I forced myself, but it's not my favorite thing. I love that interplay. I'm curious about how someone's going to affect my idea. You know what I mean? And so that makes co-writing amazing for me. And in everything I do, I just really like to, even meals, like, I like to be like, ooh, I have an idea. Well, you know, like collaborating on a meal. Me and my husband actually call our meals that we work to, I call them a co-write. I'm like, oh, it was a co-write. Like,
that's amazing.
We co-wrote this meal, and it's so fun, you know?
I think I love that people have, like, maybe outside of the music world, they're like, you know, be like, oh, like, that song took four people to write it. Well, that means it's not as good. And I'm like, no, if anything, that makes it better, because that mean that four people agreed that this is the best. I mean, sure, maybe in the room someone didn't love something as much, but like, I'm like, no, that just like, that was four brains working on making that song as catchy as possible, as relatable as possible. Like, it just makes the art better. And like you said, sure, plenty of people write songs alone, and you know, that's awesome when someone writes a song by themselves and it becomes, you know, something that's universal. But like, yeah, that's like my biggest art pet peeve, is like when someone from the outside is like, oh, collaboration therefore makes it worse. And I'm like, no, it makes it only better.
That's not exactly right. Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. I mean, you know, it's with everything, you know. Are the most beautiful people on the planet are blends of different kinds of people. Like, there's a reason, like, even God is trying to tell us something, like, you know, like, we're supposed to mix shit up. We're supposed to change, you know, we're supposed to continue to be creative. I mean, it's our privilege as a human being to create and to be curious and to wonder. And I just feel like the most bored songwriters on the planet think, you know, it's only done a certain way, and then they turn 55 or something, and then they're mad at the next generation for doing it differently. It's like, I'm not going down like that. I'm too curious, and I'm too enamored with the next generation. I am absolutely floored by their fearlessness and their excitement about being weird. Frankly, like, that's to me, like, let's go. I'm like so excited about that. And I don't know if I'll ever get bored. I am more excited. I'm actually writing later today. It's a Saturday, but I have a write I have to do on a weekend. Very rare. I am a mom, but today's the day. And I am as excited about what I wrote yesterday as I am my biggest hit. Probably more, actually. I'm more excited about what I wrote yesterday than a big hit, because, like, I'm still making stuff. Like, that's a win, you know?
I love that. How does it work? I'm like someone out of the industry. Like, do you kind of come with stuff and they come with stuff and then you like work on it together? Like,
that's a great question. I'm glad you asked, and I'll bet Sadie could answer this because we do the same.
I'll let you same shit.
But like, no, it's you know, co-writing is like, again, different in different parts of the world, but typically. God, you know what's funny is I've been doing it a different way. So I'll tell you the way I was taught to do it when I first started in Nashville, and then where it's evolved, because it's so wild. But like in Nashville, typically, you know, three people get together, you know, and we all have ideas. Maybe somebody's on a track, like a producer writer. And then there's maybe an artist and maybe a top liner, like a writer, like someone like myself who like can kind of put the thing together or whatever. Everybody has ideas. You all throw them out. You have to like spend the first 5 to 10 years like not being offended when your idea doesn't get picked. And like, you know, but we're all literally like, I swear we're all just trying to figure out what the song is trying to tell us to do. I mean, it's like a fucking Ouija board in a lot of ways. Like, we're just like, where, you know, like just trying to, you know, but it's, and then someone will be like, that's my favorite. I'd love to write that one. And then someone else throws out an idea and maybe we switch. Maybe someone says something by accident. And then that's the song. Oh, nope, that's the one. Like, we're all kind of just going like, what's the song trying to tell us? Very Ouija board. And then it's essentially like we've all got training in different areas of this like craft. Okay. So some of us are trying to figure out what the story is. Like, if this is the idea, how do you build people into this idea? And then some of us are on the computer trying to go like, what does this idea sound like? You know? And then if an artist is in a room, they're going, what about this idea feels like me, so that I can go out there and sell it? So it's this weird stew where everyone's like, very guide my sword, like guide, what do we need to do? It's very kind of magic. And, you know, at first, when you first start doing this stuff, I mean, it is like a middle school dance. It's terrifying. You're just like, I'm scared. I don't know if can any words even come out of my mouth. I'm so scared. I'm nervous. Or like, I can't stop talking. Why would I stop talking? I'm crowding. Like, the first many years of co-writing is just working out the kinks of being nervous and feeling like a fraud and feeling like you don't belong there. And it just takes a really long time to be like, oh, I do belong here. I belong here. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna worry about it anymore. It takes literally like nearly a decade just to kind of get to that place. But then, you know, out of fucking all of that weird magic, it's verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. Like at the end of the day, it's 3 minutes of music. You know, it's not like we didn't write a novel. We just wrote a little story based on an idea that somebody had that we all resonated with. And then off you go. And then the producer records it, sends it around, and we're all like, oh my God, this is fire. I love it. You know, we're all excited about everything we did. And then that's the end of the journey if it were up to me. I divorce myself right after that from having emotions and passion. And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but like I have to let it go. When I get a demo back, I'm like, this is the highest I'll ever feel because I have to do this again tomorrow. And if I have to worry about where this song's journey is going to go, I won't write well tomorrow. So I have to let them go.
Yeah.
You know? So that is the process of being a songwriter. And sometimes you do that 200 songs a year for 5 years and you don't even have a fucking hit to show for it. Like that is a real thing that happens to people. I lucked out, you know, my first couple of years being signed, I had a hit. So I got to see what it felt like to be like, oh, wow, we just threw ideas around. And then, oh my God, it's like, you know, a number one for somebody. It's crazy. And then, you know, that's the journey of it. But I swear the hardest part is just going, I wash my hands of, you know, like it's almost impossible. It's so painful to like let go of your babies, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
I think that's so cool and like can be applicable just to so many, obviously all kinds of creating and art period of just like you create something, you put so much love and labor into it. And then at a, like you can't control what happens next. Like even if you immediately post it on social media, you know, like it's kind of this, which is whatever. But like,
I'm so scared. I know. But why did I just start sweating?
I know, literally. But it's this like constant rejection. And like, I have a really good friend of mine who's actually in the process of writing a book. And granted, that's so different because I'm like, oh, like I spend hours same, like writing a 3 minute thing. Like a book is a thing, a beast. But like, she's like talked to me and like been like, how do you deal with the constant rejection? Because now she's in the process where she's going to have to like, you know, send things out to publishers and like our potential publishers. And she knows that it's, you know, it's not going to be the first email she sends or that they're going to bite. And I wondered, it's hard. And so she was like, how do you just like constantly like put yourself out and know that it might not work? And I think there's maybe like rejection practice that comes up, but I wanted to know if you had any more like thoughts or advice on like, how do you handle the like rejection or like rejection, but then still feel inspired to show up the next day and say, I can't wait to do that again. I mean, you kind of just talked about it, but any other like advice or mindset shifts that helped you?
You know, I think it's a lot harder when you're an artist because, and certainly a book writer, like let's go with the artist though for now. Like the way you are trying to figure out how to make yourself the thing, like you're being rejected if it doesn't work. Like that is different. Like I'm, you know, as difficult as it is to hear the words 200 songs a year, that's 200 seeds I've planted that could come up after I die. I've spread it. Like, I'm just like, you know, I think that's like comfortable. That makes me feel comfortable to know that songs don't die. They're just sitting in my catalogs, you know, and tomorrow I write another one and I plant another seed. And then the next day I plant another seed. I mean, it's a really long game kind of a plan, but the truth is like the math, how many rejections does it take to get in the Hall of Fame? Like that's something you'd be shocked to hear, even like the Ashley Gorleys of the world who are in a league of their own entirely. Like, he literally, like, I think he's intentionally trying to get it so that no one will ever be able to take his crown. Like, he's an incredibly accomplished songwriter. Do the math. Like, he's had 70 number ones. He's like, do the math. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah. He had to have like how many rejected songs to get to that 70 number yeah. ones. Even he has to kiss songs goodbye. Even he has to feel the weight of getting a song to 52 and watching it fall off the chart. Like, he's felt that too. Mm-hmm. He's felt the weight, not recently, but he's felt the weight of going a couple of years without like seeing anything working. Like, he's felt that too. So in a way, it's almost like if the untouchable version of me, like the untouchable version of this job, still yeah. comes with the same amount of rejection, then why am I worrying about it? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, of course it's painful, and it, like, there's no doubt, like, the emotional side of it, but mathematically I'm not doing anything wrong. Do you know yeah. what I mean?
Yeah.
Being rejected is like, is not a sign that I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's maybe like the most comforting part, is like, I'm doing it right just by showing up and going, showing up and doing, showing up and doing. And like I said, I have gone through massive bouts of depression about certain things not yeah. working. And like, I'm not claiming that this is like a 100% win kind of a thing, but I've said this before in my podcast, but I'm like, if I get this right, even like 51% of the time,
yeah,
that'll work. That'll work. I'm fine. You know, as long yeah. as I'm I mostly keep this in my head, like, just show up and do your job. Just do your job. Mm-hmm. You love this job. Just keep doing your job. You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's
not easy.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea that like art is like, you're spreading little seeds. And even if, like, you know, you are an artist, or it's like a big thing where it's a book that you're writing mm-hmm. and that's it. But it's like, I love just the idea of like everything you do, it is a step forward, even if it doesn't feel like it is mm-hmm. in the moment. And yeah, if you can at least get it right 50% of the time, then mm-hmm. that's,
you're doing something good. And I also just don't think, nothing is a waste of time. Like, yes. there's so much to learn. I consider myself someone who's just, I want to learn mm-hmm. always. Like, I don't believe in mastery. Unless you're like a, you know, textile rug maker or something, and yeah. you can like, what, unless it's something like really non-subjective, you know, mm-hmm. just, you can be an objective master at something if that's what your thing is. Like, you can totally do that. That's real. But like, in the subjective arts, there's no such thing as mastery. And mm-hmm. I don't like thinking there is, because then what, I might as well die. Like, if you're, you know what I mean? What's the point?
Yeah,
if you're not learning, what's the point? And so I think I'm just like I'm a curious person. I encourage curiosity, mm-hmm. like being curious about your artist career, and then letting yourself be curious about not artist career. Like, and, yeah. and I'm only, not to you particularly, no, but in yeah. a general sense, being an artist is so hard. It takes so long. And I think that we just had an episode with Emily Wiseband. Did you listen to that one?
I was going to say, I loved it. Yes.
It was really, really illuminating. I've received so many messages about it, because it is so hard, you know, to let go of something that your little girl self or little boy self had their heart set on. Like, there's, mm-hmm. that's facts. That's just human nature. But man, if it's beating you up, you yeah. know, and you're not listening to that. Like, if this job, if my songwriting job was just consistently beating me up, I should be asking myself why I'm doing it. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that my generation is this whole, like, you got to work for it, you know, it's got to hurt, you know, pain. And I, there's some of that. I get that it takes a lot of determination and all that stuff, but the whole, like, it's a trick. If you're like, if everything in you wants relief from anything, you know, yeah. if being a songwriter, you know, if nothing connects and you're just kind of, you're depressed all the time about that, try something else. Like, just try, yeah. you know, but, you know, uh-huh. there's nothing wrong with that, you know? And I think that that failure mentality is so terrifying to people, but I just don't think it's one person's opinion. I don't think you should ever think you're doing anything wrong by learning something, but then changing course, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. No, I did. I did listen to that episode. And that was one that my friend had texted me like, did you listen? And I said, yes, I know. It was so good. So
it was, I love that one.
A great conversation to listen to. And yeah, I think it, if anything, I know it made me just like be like, you know, made me like be like, oh, I should be thoughtful about this, you know, of like, it's okay if things don't go according to plan. They're never going to anyways. So you have to just learn to roll, you know, at least try.
And you know, it's funny too, because I know people whose journeys have unfolded like quote unquote perfectly. And it ends up biting them at some point, because then their expectation that everything is going to go right, like full depression, like they can't believe it didn't work because everything worked. I don't know. There's so many pluses and minuses. But my kids just applied to a school. We're really hoping to get in, and we just got like waitlisted, you know, and my husband and I were like, oh fuck, like shit, this is going to bug them out. You know, they're 10, they're little, you know, and we were saying, this is actually really good. Like this is a good feeling. Like this is going to happen over and over in their lives. Like having to be told no about big things that they want, you know? So anyway, it's not even great when it goes right. You're going to get fucked one way or the other.
Like at some point in your life, something's not going to go right. And you got to be able to know the sun will rise in the morning and it is still worth it for me to try again.
Totally. 100%.
Yeah. We shouted out the podcast many a times. It's Songwriter Soup or Songwriting Soup? I'm worried I've been saying it wrong.
Songwriter Soup. Thank no worries. You. It's Songwriter Soup. Yeah.
Cool. You talked a little bit about obviously the goal, which I, you know, like the free mentorship, especially like having a financial person on there is so nice. And I think that was so smart to do that, because that is the trickiest thing. But I wanted, just to kind of wrap up, I would love to hear more about Songwriter Soup and the genesis of that. But anything else you want to tell us about it, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, wow. Well, I just love songwriters. I love songwriters. I love like the breed, you know, like whoever the fuck we are, I just like us. And it was this idea was actually Tracy's, my financial advisor. He was like, I think I should write a book that gives like some casual advice for songwriters so that basically they don't need me for the first X number of whatever. And I was just like, you know what? That's a great idea. And we started chatting and I was like, oh man, you should talk about some of the like mental shit, you know, and all of a sudden he and I were vibing and we wrote this book like fully. It's on a docs folder. Like it's not a real book that's out or available, but it's there. And we've used the book as like a how to walk through, like, so all the episodes are based on bits that we wrote down about how to prepare yourself and how to, you know, kind of walk into this without, I don't know, feeling like you need to go faster than you're going, or feeling like you have to be cooler than you are, or feeling like you have to be all those weird things that are kind of just innate to this little world. And it's been a pleasure. And we interview songwriters that are mostly my buddies so far. We have my sister on pretty soon, which I'm so excited about. She's a songwriter as well. I hope people love it. And I'm highly aware it might be like, I don't know, a handful of people's favorite podcast and that's it. And it'll be enough for me knowing that it's just helping out a group of people that I admire so much. I just admire anyone willing to be like, I think I'm moving to Nashville. I think my poems are worth betting on. Like, that's just a group of people. I'm like, I love them. So that's pretty much it. It's just exciting.
Well, I love that. Like I said, if I can provide any validation in my circle of
you did.
young writers who are all, I think all the ones, we've all been here for 2 years or less. And, you know, we're the babies that are starting out. So it's definitely provided inspiration. But I think also like realistic expectations in the sense of like, okay, you know, things don't have to blow up in a moment. Like good things take time.
Yes.
That's a good thing for me to work towards. So.
And that's such a valuable lesson.
I'm still
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still struggling with it too. I mean, it's constant. You know, my husband and I just talked about another one. I was like, I know you're excited about this artist, but don't get too excited. Remember the last time you got really excited.
Oh, no.
And then you got real sad. And I'm like, I know, but I'm so excited. And he's like, no. You know, like, it's a lot of that. And I'm, you know, yeah. I'm 44 years old, still trying mm-hmm. to, like, not, you know, get ahead of my skis. So it's, yeah. it's everybody. It's not
everybody all the time.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming on chatting with us and letting us have some of your Saturday afternoon.
Glad I so appreciate
you. Got to go get some ice cream though this morning.
I did. And you got to go to Sip. I'll see you there.
I know. I'm like, maybe I'll run into you.
We are there quite a bit. So yeah, if you see me, say hey.
Absolutely will. Perfect. Well, I think everything for today. Thanks for chatting awesome. With us again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate it. Thank you guys. Good luck on your journey. Yeah. Both of you, you're both creators and it's mm-hmm. it's rough out there in these streets. And I wish you the very best for sure.
Thank you so much.
See you soon, guys. All right. Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and follow us. And we'll be back again next week with another one.
Yep.
Bye.